It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I am your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett. And with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam, Cheddar Talk himself.
Hey. Oh, thank you, John. How's it going on, man?
Things are going very well so far. It was quite the week. I'm very glad I was wrong on my predictions. But before we get too far into
very right as usual, thank you.
We're very
John.
Right. Actually, we'll go over that right now. In fact, we'll just say right. Aaron picked 37-24 as the final score. So only three off on the Packers and 10 off on the Titans. He said it was going to be a Packers win big, and I was not believing. And I'll own that because I own when I'm wrong on this show and on Twitter as well because I don't know how Twitter works, I guess. But yeah, it's great week for us here for most of that. Not for the Bucks, but you know, Packers make us happy. We do have something different here in our show, something not as per usual. We're welcoming into the show Eric Helwig.
Oh, that's my cue to say hi. What's up, everybody?
I don't fill Aaron in, and I don't fill Eric in. So we're just gonna. I like being the one who's prepared, and that way I look better. Because it's my show.
It's the format of the show. I just wander in here and John just belts me with questions and I just react accordingly. So welcome to my hell.
No, usually when people introduce me, they're like, you've seen him on America's Got Talent. He has it. But you were just like, Eric's here.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, no, yes, I am. Yes, I'm sorry.
I can't keep you on your toes if I'm going to be like other hosts. I'm going to be like, I'm going to plug you all this way. No, you do have a lot of things, actually. You have a lot of things going for you. You were death. If people have seen that on America's Got Talent, I have to work on that because, as we said in a pre-show just recently here, in speaking around the house and to my children, I call it America Got's Talent, and that's not actually its name, but whatever. But America's Got Talent, you were death and you killed. It was a horrible one, but yeah, no, it was very good. But also,
I see what you did just there.
See, it was that good of a joke.
You raced through it. I can tell you got nervous. Like you didn't let it sit for a minute.
No,
not to give you a comedy lesson, but you got to let them know. Stand behind it.
No, that one. That one needed to get behind me as fast as possible, and that is how that needs to go. I just have the dad jokes, so I'll just stick with that. No, but the other thing that we also wanted to talk about that's also fantastic is you do bring in the backups, which is a fun idea for a podcast that I've enjoyed. Why don't you describe a little bit what that podcast is about?
Yeah, I mean, it's a show where I talk about every week I pick a backup quarterback from like the 90s or the early aughts, and we do a deep dive on their like career, like – you know, high school, college. Yeah, to be honest, I talk about the quarterback for maybe 6 minutes.
That's true.
And I spend the rest of the time complaining about my family or that I got diagnosed with celiac disease two months ago. So it's kind of like an excuse to just have a podcast. But I'm like, what's a topic that nobody's talking about? And I was like, backup quarterbacks seem to be pretty uninhabited terrain. And also, I was talking with a friend. This is a couple months into the pandemic. Where every comedian had nothing to do for months. So I was thinking about doing a podcast, and he was like, well, whatever you do, it should be something that you do in your spare time, because otherwise it'll just get, you guys know, editing and all the time that goes into it. You have to be talking about something that you like. And as he was saying that, I was watching highlights from Coy Detmer, who was like an Eagles backup when I was 14 years old.
Yes.
And I was like, maybe this is what my – and then for a while I was like, do I have a podcast just about Coy Detmer? And then I thought that might be a little too niche.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, maybe I'll just do backups. So, yeah, man, we're like 10 episodes in, and I keep saying we, but it's just me. I'm trying to make it seem like there's a team behind me, but it's me in my underwear twice every 2 weeks.
Getting your brothers-in-law to come and plug you on your own show is fantastic.
And not only that, for your audience out in L.A., that's a big topic du jour right now. You've got some meat on the bone for the L.A. Rams this next week now.
Oh, did I, I'll be honest. I was watching the Eagles Cowboys. I'm a Birds fan, and
yep.
that game went so terribly. I didn't pay. I like was like I can't watch football.
Yeah,
it hurt. Anytime
Goff, the Cowboys, I what happened to Goff? Is he out for a game?
Goff dislocated his thumb, and they've got that Wolford kid coming in now, who nobody knows about, and he doesn't talk. What's his name, John?
I don't know. I was just like, it was fun. He like popped his thumb back in and then threw again the next play, and I was like,
right,
good on
and
you.
Then, good and on then, you. Really, really to put the frosting on that backup cookie, you're going to have Blake Bortles signed off the Broncos practice squad to be the backup quarterback for the Rams this weekend in the game.
I love it. I think Blake has got a second go in him, man. I'm not even kidding. I think he got a raw deal in Jacksonville. I know he has like a throwing motion where it looks like he's throwing a pumpkin into a second story building.
Yeah.
But like, none of that matters. I'm like, give BB another shot.
So he's got a little Tannehill in him, is what you're saying.
Sure, man. Remember, maybe. I mean, so much of like the success of quarterbacks is just the situation you're in. Like,
oh, yeah.
Tannehill's a great example, but there's a million examples like that where you're like, you just, a guy gets a change of scenery and all of a sudden he's a world beater. And it's just because, dude, I'm an Eagles fan. Nick Foles, the dude was going to be out of the league.
Yeah.
He was like practicing like his sermons to go be a preacher. And I was like, oh, on second thought, I'll go win the Super Bowl for a city that's never had one. Like, that was like his backup plan was to come back to the NFL. So, yeah, it's like, I don't know, man. Blake Bortles could be great. Who knows? And I think Wolford, I'm thinking, is that the kid that went to Wake Forest a couple years? I think that's who it is, right?
I believe you're right. And the thing on him is he doesn't talk. Like, the other people on the team don't even know who he is because he just doesn't talk.
Great.
Which should be interesting.
The strong and silent type. I'll take it.
It's going to work great in a huddle. You know it's going to be good in a huddle.
So it sounds like Blake Bortles is coming in halfway through the second quarter next week.
It'll be interesting.
Bortles time. It's going to be fabulous. No, I remember Coy Detmer very distinctly. First off, because we had Ty Detmer, the Heisman Trophy winner. Ty Teeny Hand Detmer. Coy is his kid brother. And Coy had that one game for the Eagles. He started against the Packers. And it was amazing.
Yes, dude. I can't believe you're going to talk about this. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Yes. 1990. Yes, I remember it.
There was like one of the players on one of the teams because he was talking so much trash. Well, I mean, they were in it the whole way. And back and forth game. And did Brett Favre do the throat slashing motion? One of them did something. They were doing WWE back and forth. It was crazy. Okay.
I have the full story, okay? And when I say I have the full story, I mean I vaguely remember it from when I was 8, and I'm going to state it as fact now, which is good practice for listening to my podcast as well. Pulled directly from my rump. Does that match the G rating? I'm trying to make sure.
Great. Basically Aaron every week, yeah. Just
I already broke the G rating earlier. I caught myself, but anyhow.
The final score, I think, is the Packers won 24-16. This is a season where the Eagles, I think they were like 2-9 going into the game. Coy Detmer was a rookie making his first start ever at Lambeau Field. And he throws a touchdown pass to get the Eagles within two scores. And it was Detmer did it first. He ran out to midfield and did his celebration, which is – it's called the whooping stick, where you pull out like a towel or a jock strap and you gesticulate wildly in around your private parts. I'm really trying to say this in a way that I can get away with on your podcast. But it was so ballsy to do that as a rookie against Brett Favre, the best quarterback in the league, like in your first game, and you're still losing, but the Eagles are never winning the game. Like he was just Coy Detmer was a fiery competitor. And that so what happened was like Detmer did it. And then Favre did it, and then Detmer did it again, and then the Packers beat the Eagles because they were terrible. But it was like, in my head, what year was that, 98? I was 13. Oh, I was like, I love Coy Detmer forever. And he's one of my top five Eagles of all time, even though he's thrown a total of 8 touchdowns.
That's fantastic.
I'm like, I love him.
Nice.
You know, there is one part of Philadelphia Eagles history too that does just strike fear into the heart of every Packers fan ever. Oh, and I know John knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, can I guess?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Is it 4th and 58 or whatever?
26. It was 26.
Fourth and 26. It actually, that came up earlier this year in a game, and we thought for sure it wasn't going to work out for us. But I would have to suggest at some point, though, if you're ever running out of ideas for your bringing the backups, you should do a whole piece on when the Packers behind Brett Favre had Mark Brunell, Ty Detmer, and Kurt Warner all in the same training camp.
Yeah, and Kurt Warner didn't make the team, right?
Right.
Yeah. They sent him down to the Arena League, yeah.
Yeah.
Or wait, it was Brunell, Warner, and who was the third guy?
Ty Detmer.
Yep. Ty Detmer.
And Ty Detmer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Detmer beat out Kurt Warner. That's crazy. Probably because at the time, I mean, Ty Detmer won the Heisman. So if you're a couple years off of doing that in college, coaches are like, that you still got that Heisman glow on you.
Yeah.
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 No, Kurt Warner had been bagging groceries. So, I mean, you know,
no, that was after that, I believe, because this was after he came out of college. Then he went. This is the thing that makes me so mad with Kurt Warner. They're like, isn't this a wonderful story? Like, he was bagging groceries after being a college quarterback, and he didn't make it in the NFL and was bagging groceries, and here he is. You're like, that dude went to college for free. Why is he bagging groceries? Like, what an idiot. Like, he went to Northern Iowa.
I graduated from college and sold timeshare for a year, so I can't hate on bagging groceries too much. No.
But I mean, like,
at least he wasn't walking unsuspecting tourists to the gates of hell, which is what I did.
He's like, I'm going to Northern Iowa. Next step, NFL stardom. I don't need to go to class. I was like, you tell me. I'm going to tell my kids to go to class no matter what. Your brain's going to save you.
I was using high pressure sales tactics to try to trick people into buying an invisible product for profit.
Nice.
He's bagging people Stouffer's lasagna. I'm going to cut him a break. It's all good, Kurt.
Yeah.
This commercial's on the radio now that tell me how I can defeat you now.
Yeah, dude. I don't know why lately I my last podcast, which is going to be coming out. I just recorded it last night. So it's coming out in a couple weeks, but for some reason I talked about the timeshare thing for like an hour on my pod. Like apparently I'm like salving my guilt.
That's a good
through the new year of like, yeah, you know, 12 years ago, in order to save money to move to New York, I had a crappy job for 10 months. But whatever, we do what we got to do, gentlemen.
You know, and, you know, that's the type of job that doesn't send you to Iraq. So it's always a win. So, yeah.
Yes.
Were you guys both in Iraq?
Oh, yeah.
That's where we met.
Fabulous. Well, you know, on our training to get to Iraq, yes. But that's.
Yeah.
So many fun times.
Our second deployment, not on our first deployment. And I went in 0304 and John went in 506. And then we both went back in 910. So
my first deployment was a vacation by the beach. I was right on the Persian Gulf in Kuwait and just, you know, watching Kuwaitis do things.
I got to clean up behind the Marines as they marched to Baghdad.
That's a much rougher job.
Yeah. I've never related less to a conversation, but thank you for your service.
No,
we tried to leave the acronyms out of it. Thank you.
Fabulous. Yes. All right. Hey, we're going to get going right into everything here. We've had a long setup here because it's been a fantastic start to here. And, you know, we don't have Brewers news or anything like that. There wasn't a Badger football game, so we got the time. But we're going to get going with what we like to call here our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, so our main event is Packers, obviously. Packers had a great game, a game that I did not see coming. They beat, the Titans, again, we were talking about this. They're a top three offense, and they were like 25th in defense in the DVOA standards. But I don't know. I just, there was so much of this I did not see coming. Without Jamal Williams, we definitely got to see a ton of greatness out of Dylan and his first real shot of getting a bunch of carries. First thing I want to talk about, though, is huge days by people who did not start this year off particularly well. And this is not going to be right up your alley, Eric, but just, you know, this is things we've kind of talked about a little bit here is Preston Smith, Darnell Savage, we've got Amos. Actually, Amos has been great all year. And Gary. And we also got a big game from Z. But Preston Smith and Savage started off kind of slowly. And they have been going very well recently. Anytime, though, I see Preston lined up on a slot receiver, I mean, you know where the ball is going. Whatever, I don't care what play you had called. If you have a slot receiver and Preston is sitting out there, like Patton's like, hey, Preston, go get the little guy. He's like 180. I bet you got him, right? All the way down the field. You check immediately out of that. whatever the call was, Aaron had partway through the game. He had an early call that was very clear with something like something ninja. It sounded like scary ninja. Scary ninja, scary ninja. And I was like, what? In the snow, they should be super obvious. So it's easy to point them out, I guess. But that was a fantastic call. But I mean, like, whatever your call is, and you see Preston Smith on your slot receiver, you just throw it to him. Just throw it to him, and it doesn't matter what else is going on. It's the dumbest.
Right, the man is built like a chest freezer.
Right. The defense in this game, though, came up so big. It's the first time we've seen them keep anybody, pretty much, keep Henry under 100 yards. And this is not a good run defense. They let the guys go man. And Aaron, we have been talking about this. I have been talking about this, at least. I have been ranting about this repeatedly, I think. Just put the guys in the box, stop their run. We have the corners to play press man all over the field. We have great safeties who can cover up in the backfield. Darnell Savage is super fast. He's been playing great. He should have had two picks yesterday. Mm-hmm. And they let them play on the islands like they can. And Tennessee doesn't have terrible receivers. They have nice receivers. And Tannehill's been very good now that he's free of the clutches of the NFL's most insane head coach who sees little aliens during press conferences and such.
can't even lose right because they won again yesterday.
that is perhaps
the Adam greatest. Adam Gase is the worst head coach in NFL history.
I don't know. I'm sure
all I need him to do is be terrible now, and he can't do that.
Right.
There's nothing more frustrating. I did the I did a podcast on a Jets backup a couple weeks ago, and they were like, Adam Gase, they got to keep him around so we keep losing. Like, all Jets fans were like excited to keep him for the rest of the season, and he's somehow still messing it up for them now. It's crazy.
Did you see the Saturday Night Live bit with the Jets fan network? It's like OAN.
No, I didn't.
It's like OAN, but it's all about Jets fans. They're like, mainstream media doesn't want to let you know about the Jets' three-peat Super Bowl championships that just happened. Undefeated for three straight years, and no one's talking about this. Like, yeah, greatest team ever. And you're like, this is amazing. I want to meet these Jet fans. That'd be so great to have a fake
they are, news. They are more sports. They are more oblivious than Lions fans. I really have to say that.
Yeah, I've been fighting a lot of Lions fans on Twitter recently.
You guys can't hate on the Lions that much,
no,
can
not,
you?
Not the Lions.
Lions fans.
Every game is only because the refs hate them. Also, Matthew Stafford is the greatest quarterback ever, and if only he had some kind of good receiver in his life. Megatron doesn't count. That doesn't count because it was earlier. It's not happening now. So
the refs took Kelvin Johnson out of the game. He was getting pass interfered with every single pass. You know,
he was
like
no
that.
Good. You're like, come on, guys. Basically, my feeling is, and I put this on Twitter, Matthew, and this goes kind of to what you said earlier about, you know, when you got picked and, you know, Ty Detmer versus Coy Detmer and where they got picked and who to Heisman. Matt Stafford is like Ryan Fitzpatrick if Ryan Fitzpatrick had been drafted in the first round. They both can throw. They're both kind of crazy at times when they're throwing a ball and you're like, I don't know what just happened. But he made a great play and he throws a bunch of touchdowns and sometimes stupid interceptions. But Matt Stafford was the first overall pick and is one of the top 10 paid quarterbacks, although all his metrics are like 14 through 16. In terms of effectiveness, it's like, yeah, he's Ryan Fitzpatrick, but drafted first overall.
Hey, so I'm going to tangent here real quick since we have the king of the backup quarterback podcast on the line here right now. Fitzmagic with that throw at the end of the game on Saturday night.
Dude.
Did you see that, John?
Yes, I did. That was amazing.
I'm like, because up to that point, Rodgers hitting Jared Cook down the sideline in that NFC divisional game was one of the best passes I've ever seen. Mahomes has a handful of them too.
Well, Rodgers against Kansas City last year too. That one where he's falling to the back corner. In the back corner.
That throw by his face was looking at the ground in the opposite direction when he let go. And he still got the dude.
And the other
That felt like it doesn't have the cachet of a Super Bowl Eli Manning to Tyree pass. Yeah. But like the improbability of it is right there.
They got to make one of those commercials out of that. You're like, probability of success, -2%.
They asked Fitzmagic about it after the game, too, and he's like, his comment was something along the lines of, well, it really hurt. but I'm glad I made the throw.
He has the perfect nickname too. Like the way to describe his game is just like magic. Like I don't know, man. I would think he would be a fit on absolutely any team as a backup quarterback. Oh, yeah. He's the perfect amalgam of what you want as a backup, because he's mediocre. He either plays great or horrible, and for some reason, every team he's on, the players want to run through a wall for him. Right. So like, what else do you want?
The line was eight teams he started for. That means he started for one quarter of the league.
Yeah.
Like the most touchdowns of any quarterback never to play a playoff game. Which, by the way, Matthew Stafford is only one playoff a game away from being in that same camp because he only has the one.
Oh, well, now the Dolphins are going to make the playoffs too, probably. So then Matthew Stafford will be in a league by himself.
Then they'll start Tua. They'll start Tua. You know they will. All right.
Where were we?
Woo. All right. My big thing again here, and I got it written very large on my sheet. I don't think anyone can see it on my thing, but it says man coverage. And then just capital letters just says more. And then 3 exclamation points because it needs 3, like a triumvirate of exclamation points to let you know it's important. Man, I'm trying to get the feeling on like exactly how pumped I should be about A.J. Dillon. He's had a game in a row now of being just a giant killer or a titan killer, whatever, I guess. That makes him a god or something in Greek mythology, whatever it is. He's had one great game. Aaron, you called me at the start of this game at the first commercial break and said, this was great. Aaron being massively prescient in this, you said, and I'm going to paraphrase you because I can't quote you right now because I didn't write it down or record it because I don't, this is the only time I record you.
I was lit.
Yeah. He's like, you're like, John, he can't cut. You're like, Derrick Henry can't cut. He's only be going straight ahead. They're going to tackle him. He's not going to get that much today. He's going to be held back today because he's not able to cut out there. And I was like, really? I don't know. We'll see. You were right. The cutting, I think, massively hurt. The number of giant runs he has on those cutback runs where he cuts back against something and suddenly it's just wide open field. He didn't get those today yesterday.
Oh, no. He's a great cutback runner. I mean, he moves very well for a big dude, but they even pointed out during the game, he's got like a big body over top of spindly legs. And if he keeps his weight under him, he can cut back and forth real good. But right away at the beginning of the game, you could tell he was just trying to shoot straight up the gap and they were closing down on him. They were getting, you know, Chris, help me out. 51.
Burns.
Burns was in his face all game long. I mean, he's still got 98 yards. I mean, that's how good Derrick Henry is. He was 23 of 98, but he was massively ineffective in the game. And I was right about that, John. I was also right on DraftKings because I won a bunch of money yesterday.
Hey!
And
rounds on Aaron.
Triumvirate, as you said earlier, yes.
Triumvirate.
Is that? I mean, you're the lawyer, so I'm guessing it's actually a word. But
yes. It is a word. Yes. Like you know, the triumvirate that ruled Rome after Julius Caesar was killed. You know these. I don't need to tell people about that. We all know these things.
Hey, John. I wanted to ask Eric before he gets out of here what his thoughts as a NFC East fan is looking at our local 22. Team, what's the thought of West Coast transplant Philadelphia guy looking at the NFC North right now?
At the NFC North,
yeah, no, that's
look, I'm Foles first. I'm sorry, guys, but it's every team Foles went to was always going to be my second favorite team this year. So I was pulling for the Bears. It looks like that's not happening. I mean, they're playing better with Trubisky, so I think the Bears are in. I think the Bears would be in if the playoffs ended now, aren't they? Aren't they the seventh? Are they the sixth seed right now?
No, they're just outside with the way that it's. So it's Rams, Cardinals, Bears right now, I think.
Yeah.
But if the Bears win next week, I think they're in because the Cardinals and Rams play each other, so one of them would fall behind if the Bears win next week. So, yeah.
So the Bears control their own destiny. So, like, I don't know, man. I think. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is just – I mean, you guys have to appreciate this. You are Packers fans. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it doesn't matter who's around him even. He's the definition of a franchise quarterback and that he makes whoever's around him better. that would be the opposite of what Carson Wentz was doing for us for the last couple seasons. So, like, to me, it's like the NFC North is always Aaron Rodgers and the Packers first, and if somebody knocks them off, then good, but you got to go through you guys, and that's pretty much every year.
You're
so
hurting a lot of Vikings fans' hearts right now.
Yeah. Who? Why? What do the Vikings have to say back to it? Kirk Cousins? That's their argument?
Yeah, it doesn't much matter because the Vikings are out of the playoffs, so Vikings fans currently don't exist. It's a weird dichotomy where, like, they either exist and are super talkative or they just cease to exist. They're looking forward to hockey. Hockey starts in January.
When we played the Vikings in the championship game during our Super Bowl run, you guys remember the Eagles winning the Super Bowl?
Beating the Vikings was Vikings great.
Fans, I always thought Vikings fans were like, you know, I know people from Minnesota. They seem like a nice people, but their fans are insufferable. And I also love that they have that stupid skull chant that they do,
which they stole from Icelandic soccer.
Well, the Eagles stole it from them, and we had a Foles chant. Yeah,
you did. You got to remember that year that you guys won that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. Our team was out of it that year. That was the year that Rodgers that was his hurt knee year, right? Anyways,
I don't think he was it. Yes, they were not in the picture.
We were living pure Schadenfreude just watching you Eagles fans just berate Viking fans. It was
hilarious, dude, because everybody going into that championship game was like, the Vikings defense is going to expose Foles, and they beat him by like 30 points.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. And yeah, it's also, you know, I try not to hate on teams that haven't won the Super Bowl in my lifetime. Like, I'm always like, I like underdogs. So if I'm honest, like the Vikings, the Lions, those are like underdog teams in my mind. So it's easy for me to get behind them when they're playing well. But, I mean, for you guys, it's like, you know, Rodgers has one Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He should have more. He's obviously a dominant quarterback that I think, if in my mind, should have three or four. So, for me, it's like I can still root for the Packers even though they've dominated the North because I don't – they're almost like the – I feel like you guys are like the Atlanta Braves of football where it's like you win it every year, which is good, but then, like, you've had some rough luck in the playoffs. So – and also, like, let me ask you guys real quick.
Go ahead.
What did you feel about drafting Love in the first round?
So here's where we are with also, like, this draft in terms of getting, you know, Dylan in that spot. But yeah, Love was one we were not overly happy with because I don't know that he's that. Like, with Rodgers, you knew you were getting a guy who was going to start, and I don't know if Love will get there. Maybe he does. Maybe he does. It's like a hopeful thing, but just there's several other people who are playing right now who would have been kind of nice to see.
Yeah.
And I think in this offense, with the way that it's set up with the occasional deep throws, but it's a controlled game, it schemes people open very well. I think this sets up very much like a Brady's Patriots type thing where Rodgers could be very effective in this offense for another 5-7 years.
Yeah.
So he doesn't take any big hits. Yeah.
As long as he doesn't get pissed off and go play for the Bears or something, because then it's – I know that. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to piss you guys.
Oh, no, that's fine. No, because we're in that same boat, too, and it's like, well, where are you going to be at with this? And I was a little bit more easygoing with it because after a couple of years where Rodgers had his collarbone broken twice in twice in a four-year span, and we were marching out – God, what was that guy's name? Help me, John.
Oh, which, gosh.
Tolzien.
We started with.
Tolzien was one of them, yeah.
We had Whitehurst. We had, who was the other guy who came after that then, too? We also brought in someone else.
Professional backup. I can't think of his name.
I was just thinking at this point, when we drafted Love, the first thing in my head was like, I'd rather have Jalen Hurts than Jordan Love. I really think he's going to be a better quarterback. And he was still available in the next round. I was like, we got a guy in the first round when we could have had Hurts, who I think is the better quarterback. I feel like watching my team draft Trubisky, knowing that there's still a Watson behind it. And I was like, why are we spending our time for this guy? I don't know. I felt like Hurts was the better player between the two. And I still feel that way.
I was always on the take that it is the most important position. And after watching a couple seasons just get fragged because we couldn't get a backup quarterback to even put together one whole game except for Tolzien, and those weren't good games. I didn't actually mind them spending the draft capital. John's right in the fact that it might have been a second round with Jalen Hurts, but I mean, how many, outside of your Russell Wilsons and your, you know, Tom Brady's, how many good starting quarterbacks come outside the first round? They're few and far between. I don't actually mind having a good backup quarterback behind this, especially an athletic one that can get out and move, that has a cannon of an arm, and otherwise just hands off the ball, which is all they really want the Packers quarterback to do anyways. They just happen to have one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time that can heave the ball 70 yards downfield off his back foot. So
he's a guy we drafted knowing he would be an inactive for every one of 16 games this year. He can't beat out Boyle to be the guy who kneels down when the game is over at this point. He doesn't dress. That hurts at certain points. So I'd rather have Hurts than this.
Let me offer you guys a trade, okay? This is my last thing, then I got to get back to packing for my cross-country trip tomorrow.
I have to be careful because we got owners around here. So
I know. I don't. It's Green Bay. Anybody could be an owner.
Yeah, my dad has 1,000 shares.
If you guys lose Rodgers, we will trade you Carson Wentz.
Oh.
And all we ask in return is
a bag of balls?
three pounds of your best Wisconsin cheddar made by real Green Bay citizens. We'll take the trade.
You don't want Green Bay.
What do you think?
You want to go to Colby. We'll get you better stuff from Colby or
Colby. I want cheese made by Wisconsin. You guys wear cheese on your heads. I want you
Colby
to
is a city north of Marshfield in Wisconsin. You don't want Green Bay cheese. You want to get something more local, something either central or northern.
Colby cheese is a type of cheese made in Colby, Wisconsin, which is dead smack in the middle of the state. You can't get any further away from all the other states than you can in Colby, Wisconsin.
I'll take Colby. All right, you guys brought your offer to the table. Done.
All right.
Enjoy the rest of Carson Wentz's contract.
All right. Excellent.
All right. Do you have to get going now?
I do. Can I tell people where to find me on
the
internet?
I want to make sure you get that in there.
Great. So check out my website, which is just my name, erichelwig.com, and my podcast, which is Bringing the Backups. We do episodes every 2 weeks. And we also do, I always tell people, write in to the show. You can contact me through my website. And if you got a backup that you want to hear about, I know Green Bay, you guys already told me about the Brunell, Warner,
you should Ty do Peterson
era. But any backups, the criteria for a backup is they have to have spent more time as a backup than a starter. As long as somebody meets that, send me a request, and maybe your guy will end up on the show.
You should do Seneca
Doug Wallace. Peterson. That was the guy.
Doug Peterson.
Seneca Wallace. Yes, dude. Did he suck for you guys? Because he was for a second on the Seahawks.
Stunk for us.
We had Charlie Whitehurst. He's a good one, too. Charlie Whitehurst. No, but Doug Peterson should be a guy on your show. He's your head coach.
I know,
our backup forever. But yeah.
Yeah, he was. He loved Favre too. Talks a lot about him in Eagles interviews.
Yeah, he's fantastic. We love Doug Peterson and everything he did for us here. So, all right, excellent. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to keep listening to your show, and you understand that, of course, as signing on as a friend of the podcast. Now we might randomly call on you to join us again.
Anytime I've got a Green Bay guy, I will give you guys a ring, and we can collectively reminisce on some old Packers players. I'd love to do that.
Perfect. You get Zeke Bratkowski back in a Bart Starr or something, we'll be right with you. No. Anybody, let us know.
My age range is, I'm trying to get people who listen to podcasts who are also 85 years old. So that sounds
great. Yeah. You get my dad very excited. He listens to a lot of podcasts. He's a librarian. He's listening to this right now, I guarantee you.
So. Give me some backups from when they wore leather helmets and there were six teams. That's what I'm going
off the top of our head, because we can do that too. But anyways,
all right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Travel safe, man. Take care.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good one.
You too. All right, Aaron. The last couple of things I do want to say about this Packer game here is, and moving on to kind of moving us into the Bears game too a little bit here, is Devontae now has 109 catches.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, Sterling Sharp's record is 112. All right, and we remember that was when we were in middle school. That was incredible. And then he hurt his neck and never played again the next year. He was the first guy ever to get 100 catches in 2 years of his career. He's he should be in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He's crazy good.
He should be. And his brother said as much during his Hall of Fame induction speech.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah.
No, Shannon absolutely looks up to Sterling 100%. But yeah, no, I mean, we're on the verge of having Davante Adams break some real Packer records. Like,
when they said
he's already tied with Don Hutson. So
he's one of three receivers ever to have 100 plus catches, 1,300 yards, and 17 touchdowns. The other two are Chris Carter and Randy Moss.
Moss.
So, yeah. Rodgers is about to break, if he's about to at least approach at this point. He's one touchdown short of the team record, which is, of course, his own team record of 45 touchdowns. He's at 44. He's currently slightly ahead of his own team record for completion percentage. He had 68.3%, I believe, in the 2011 season. He is currently at 70.3%. I mean, he's got another game that's nowhere near guaranteed. And, you know,
yeah, at Soldier Field and the elements. Yep.
Right. There's no guarantee of any of these things being broken, but we're right at the precipice of several major team records here that would be very impressive to see go down. And that's, yeah, it's very interesting to see this. So, yeah.
The most incredible stat, and I love this one, Rodgers is now tied with J.K. Scott.
Yes.
At 44. He's got 44 touchdown passes, and J.K. Scott has punted 44 times going into the last game of the year.
That'll be something else to watch in the Bears game. Does Rodgers throw more touchdowns than there will be punts in this game? Because that'll decide it. It comes down to week 17, game 16 of this season. Which one of them is going to win, Rodgers or J.K. Scott? Just kidding,
yeah,
Scott.
He had a little bit of a lead on J.K. Scott going into last week, but then there was, Rodgers only threw two touchdowns last week, right?
That's what I say we run a fake punt just to make it count. You know?
who's the punter we had that we used to, he'd run the ball. He ended up punting for Seattle after us.
Mastic.
No, Tim not Mastic.
Wasn't it? I thought Mastic, because he was the Canadian football punter, wasn't he?
No, Mastic was, but there was the guy that the punter that the Packers had, that he had huge arms. Okay. Like,
oh, I'll think of it later, I'm sure, and it'll make me angry. So getting ready for the Bears week again. We're right back to Bears week. Not so long ago, we were just talking about Bears week. Bears, man, they are riding high right now, and man, did they watch the Packers more than they watched their own team yesterday, because Bears Twitter was all about just how much the referees handed the game to the Packers in a 40-14 rout. They're upset about the step out of bounds, which is, you know, challenge it. The refs missed one. He had time to challenge it and just didn't. That's not on anyone else but your guy. I mean, it's snowing. His foot was very close. Let him play it and challenge it. I mean, that's not that unreasonable. I mean, if they'd have called it correctly either, that's fine too. We got away with a little bit of one there, but they didn't stop the Packers at all. The other one they were mad about, and actually, I'll give Happy Mitch, I think he's changed his on Twitter, his handle there, but he's been on the podcast too, but he was talking at one point, he's like, that's a terrible call on the one where hands to the face against the Titans player getting hands to Bakhtiari's face. He watched the replay and immediately recanted. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, no, that's a penalty. I was like, yep, see, there we go. That's why we like Happy Mitch, because he's reasonable. That was a penalty, because the guy gets his hand under the face mask and lifts the face mask up, let's go, and then does it a second time. It was amazing. They're like, well, it looks like a hold, should be offsetting. I was like, okay, but he definitely did that. And then the result is you just run another play.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like, oh, well, he also held, so I guess the punt anyhow. You're like, no, run it again then. It's like, come on. I really still think the Packers beat the Bears again. The Packers just played a much better offense than what the Bears are going to be able to put out on the field. I don't care that Mitch has been happier and playing better the last couple games. He's been playing some of the bottom-tiered teams in terms of defense. And, I mean, he's going to score points against the Packers is my guess. They'll probably put up something, but the Packers are very quickly, I think, going to be able to score a couple times, make the Bears have to rely on Trubisky. What they want to do in Chicago is allow Trubisky the ability to be valuable without having to be necessary, if that makes sense.
Right.
They would like to have David Montgomery be a big part of their game. He's a nice, not great running back. Bears fans disagree with me every day, and I don't understand why. Like, his DYAR is like 14th or 16th. Like, he's a nice guy. He's not a top 10 running back. He just isn't. But yeah, I mean, if we're gonna be playing that, if we can put Dylan to do the same things he just did, I mean, it won't be the same because the Bears defense is better. But right. Still, Aaron picked this team apart already once, and I think that they really know this Bears defense. It's different than other teams coming in to play the Bears because Aaron Rodgers knows everything about this defense.
Yes, and every player on this defense and what their tendencies are. You know.
Yeah, so I think that...
Is Ha-Ha still playing for the Bears? No, he's gone now, right?
I'm sorry, what's that?
Ha-Ha, he's gone, right?
Oh, yeah, because they cut him last year, and then he went to play for the Cowboys, and then they cut him. I think was he with Washington for a bit? I don't know. He bounced around so much. And everywhere he goes, people are like, man, we just got ourselves a former, you know, Pro Bowler safety. And you're like, he's not that guy anymore. He just isn't. And I don't know if he's even out there anymore, I guess. I haven't looked up to see if he's still playing anymore because you don't hear anything about him anymore.
No. Jeremy Graham decided to come out of his shell after,
Jimmy Graham. Yeah, he had a couple touchdowns here with the Bears recently, but he's not the scariest guy. Cole Kmet's the better tight end there. Just is, and he's the future of that team in terms of tight end position. I think those guys will be valuable. I think we put Jair on Allen Robinson, and nobody else in terms of receiving really scares me that much. I think I'm forgetting his name. The kid out of Tulane, Mooney. Mooney is a good receiver, and he'll get his shots here and there. But the Bears' offense doesn't particularly scare me that much. The thing is that they do have something to play for. But the nice thing, too, is that the Packers also have something to play for. So at least that gives them something because I really do want to beat the Bears. I don't care if there's nothing on the table. As a Packers fan, I want to beat the Bears, and I understand if the players don't. I mean, I understand that players want to take a rest or whatever like that once they've got things locked up, but they don't have anything locked up at this point other than division champs. They're going to have a top three seed or whatever, but they'd like to be able to not play next week. You know, they'd like to have that week off and then play at home as much as possible. Mm-hmm. You'll sleep in your own bed every night. That's pretty fantastic to do. So I still think the Packers win this just because they are the more talented and especially the better coached team. I mean, there's maybe two Hall of Famers on the combined offenses here. Well, maybe three. Bakhtiari is a great left tackle. But, I mean, they're all on the Packers offense at this point. Between the two offenses, they're all on the Packers. And, you know, so the Bears defense is good, but the Packers have handled good defenses so far this year. Knock on wood. And I still think the Packers are the better team. I'm going to say it's going to be something like 35-24.
Boy, you almost copied me from last week. All right.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to look at the injury report. Where's Wagner at? Is he okay or is he going to be out? Or
I haven't seen what he's got coming up this week yet. I'm not sure.
Who is most likely to be playing in his place? Not that it really matters. But.
Well, what they'll do is they'll put, they'll probably put Runyon to left guard, move Elton Jenkins over to right guard, and then kick Billy Turner out to tackle, the right tackle.
Yeah, that works. Yeah. I mean, it was fun watching the PFF the other night, what like Sunday Night Football does, and they're going through. I didn't even see what Rodgers' PFF rank was, but then, you know, Devontae was number one. Bakhtiari was number one. Lindsley was number one. Jenkins was number 12 for guards by PFF, but he'd also been playing center this year too. So, you know, and he doesn't necessarily play.
Yeah.
Left guard all the time. So that, I mean, it'd be hard to, you know, and everyone always talks about, and I said this to you too, is that everyone talks about like how the Packers are lacking superstar players in positions. And it's just in the positions that don't necessarily, I mean, the two people that are highly ranked are Rodgers and Devontae.
And Bakhtiari.
Well, I'm just saying in positions where you see it, you don't see Bakhtiari, Jenkins, and Lindsley, you know, down in there. You just see that Aaron Rodgers has 7 seconds of time. And then on the defensive side of the ball, all the D-backs were mean, I think Amos was number two. Yeah. Jair was number one.
No, he was down to two at this point. Yeah, but they had King at like 103 or something crazy. I was like, whoa, 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 what? What? Well, what third string, like, what nickelback are you starting over Kevin King in this league? Come on.
I mean, but he's also, he's a nickelback. I mean, are they putting him up against nickelbacks or just cornerbacks in general?
And all corners. Cornerbacks,
yeah, corners in general. So, I mean, maybe he just doesn't get as much action per se. But, I mean, I was very happy with how the Packers defense played this last week. They really did what they needed to do. Like I said, Derrick Henry still had 23 carries for 98 yards, which is a good day for almost anybody else. Mm-hmm. But a lot of those yards came in two drives in the second quarter, or at the end of the second, beginning of the third, and then some in garbage time and just the volume. And that dude still gets, you know, they were stopping him, but they were stopping him 3-4 yards downfield, which is
big play. There are big plays at one point where it was third and 10, Henry comes off the field. Fourth and 4, Henry is off the field, and they didn't complete it. Like then the Packers got the ball and just ran out the time.
No, and so they I was very happy with the defense, and it's like you stated when Eric was still on. You know, it looked like that maybe Pettine finally woke up and said, "Hey, we can just instead of just getting run up the middle, let's let our cornerbacks who are really good, you know." If they get burnt once in a while, they get burnt once in a while. You know, whatever. It happens to these cornerbacks. But you got some of the best cornerbacks in the league. Use them. Stuff the middle. And I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring affair. I didn't quite look at the weather yet for this weekend. Give me 1 second. This does actually affect my picks. You know that, right?
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. So I'm thinking the Bears are probably going to put up 17. So I'll say 18. Bears 18. It's going to be 30, windy. So let's say, let's give it a 27-18 Packers.
All right. I got it down.
I would like to say 28-27 Packers with the Bears having a chance to win it on a last second field goal and them shanking it.
Gosh. All right. We'll briefly touch on Badger football here. Basically, just give you a preview. What we talked about a little bit last week, the worst named bowl in all of the bowls, the Duke's Mayo Bowl, which just sounds like a bowl full of mayo, is super gross. Just saying it out loud makes you feel bad. But yeah, that's where the Badgers will be playing. It used to be the Car Care Bowl and things like that. We talked about this last week, but it had better names. ESPN, according to their Football Power Index, says the Badgers are 72.4% favorite. The Badgers are favored by 7.5 is the spread. It is an 11 a.m. kickoff on the 30th. So, you know, not a New Year's Eve or New Year's Day game. We get a New Year's Eve.
Like in 2 days.
Yeah. It's going to be on 11 o'clock on the 30th. So, rough game to get to watch. It's going to be hard for a lot of people, but yeah, that's the way it is when you play in the Mayo Bowl.
Yeah, that would have been a fun name to run by the professional comedian we had on for half an hour.
What I still want is the Kohler Toilet Bowl, featuring the worst bowl-eligible team in the Sun Belt and the worst bowl-eligible team in the MAC.
Yes.
I want that badly. And they I don't know why they don't do it. Tell me they wouldn't make money on that. Somebody would make money on that.
No team with pride. I mean, you'd have to put a big price tag.
You don't have to put much. They're bowl eligible. You'd go. I mean, unless you're Minnesota. But it wouldn't be them. It'd be one of these bad teams that are somehow like 6-6.
So, Minnesota would go and then still sell it as it's a big thing.
We wouldn't send a Big Ten team. We need a Sun Belt team and a MAC team. So, or maybe a Conference USA team. I don't know.
Anyhow, make one of them at large just to get Minnesota in there if possible.
Sorry. Toilet bowl champs. Or not. Yeah. This Wake, they're 4-4, and like we talked about, they have a losing record in the ACC, which is not good other than Notre Dame and Clemson. And by the way, again, Notre Dame doesn't belong in the playoff. But yeah, I mean, like, their quarterback, Sam Hartman, is just kind of, he's an average guy. He completes about 58%, 58.8 or so percent of his passes. He doesn't turn over the ball a lot. He had 10 touchdowns, one pick. They have a running back who seems like kind of an average guy. In 8 games, he's got just over 600 yards rushing. I mean, yeah, Berger's the best running back in this game. We'll see what happens here. I think this is the type of game where our defense is going to be the major factor. The Badgers defense is the best statistical defense in college football at this point. This could be a gross game. I'm thinking it's going to be something like 17-6.
Yeah, just like the last game.
Yeah, just feed Berger, feed Groshek, get those guys involved, do some underneath, just get confidence back for Mertz. You got to start working on his confidence, get him ready. This has been a chance to have a couple weeks to practice with this team, the young players on this team. I don't have an update as to the health on Danny Davis. If Danny Davis is playing in this game, 24-6. I mean, seriously, add another touchdown on top of it because it's definitely going to be a better game that way. There's a lot more you can do if you have Danny Davis and AJ Pryor because that changes the entire outcome of this team because it adds suddenly two just really good wide receivers. Right. Take them away, and obviously it hurts a lot of teams to lose their top two wide receivers.
Well, and, you know, you talk about, you know, going after Wake Forest about, you know, like average quarterback doesn't turn the ball over, average running back,
average.
I mean, Wake Forest, I mean, can't be looking at Wisconsin back going, you know, the same way too. Like, well, outside of one good game at the beginning for Mertz, it's pretty average Wisconsin team. So you're right. It could be ugly. I mean, I give Wisconsin the edge just because of the program, but
they're the more talented team. Wake is like a less good Northwestern. You know, like they don't want to turn the ball over. They want to kind of keep you. They're going to try to get you off schedule at least once and not give up big plays. That's all they're looking to do, and they're hoping that that'll be enough to make you make a mistake, give them the ball, maybe get a short field, get a couple points they shouldn't have had, and then you'll go 4-4. So they're a less good Northwestern. But they do have one of the greatest nicknames, one of the greatest monikers in college sports, which is the Demon Deacons, which is so bad. I love it. But
what is Wake Forest? That's Lexington, right?
They're in North Carolina. I forget what city. Are they in Wake Forest, North Carolina? They're right there on Tobacco Road with like Duke and North Carolina. They're right in that area. The whole just basketball area, Tobacco Road.
I'm not thinking of Wake Forest. And there's another one that's in like Western Kentucky that I can't. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah. All right. That's really all we can do for this. We'll talk about it after they play the game. We'll spend some more time on that. I want to go into Bucks for a little bit. Aaron, this is obviously where I'm going to lean on you more. Man, the Bucks get off to a 1-2 start. And
disgusting. You know, like,
yeah, just absolutely gross. The Celtics game, free throw miss at the end. But, I mean, in all honesty, they never should have let this team without Kemba Walker hang around that long, so it came down to a free throw at the end. That was not a good game. They killed the Warriors who have just – they aren't a good team right now. They really aren't. They're putting people on the floor. You're just like, I don't know what's going on. They played them without Draymond. They played them – obviously, Klay Thompson's out for the year.
Right.
That's not a good team. They're not going to be good. They got a rookie out there who looks nice, Wiseman out of Memphis. Yep. But, I mean, like, he's not there yet. That's a team – I mean, they beat him by – was it 138-99. But, man – had to double take on this. Just my notes are just confusing and crazy. Thibodeau is now the coach of the Knicks, and the Knicks slaughtered the Bucks.
Yeah, they did.
Led the whole way. They won by 20, 130-110. What happened to Bucks defense in this game? Just through this season, what has happened to Bucks defense? They gave up 122 to the Celtics, 130 to the Knicks, 99 to the Warriors.
Right, and the Warriors who aren't good right now. I don't know, man. I didn't even get to watch the game on Sunday because we were out and about doing things before the Packer game started. So
I'll say this.
I don't.
Three-point shooting was abysmal.
And the thing is, too, is that Giannis is getting his numbers. That's the thing.
Yeah, they didn't get much else from anyone else. The three-point shooting in the Knicks game, they shot 18.4% from three.
Right.
You can't win in the NBA shooting like that.
No, and that was supposed to be the big improvement this year.
And that's what we said last year when they had a game like that, which, by the way, didn't happen early. They only happened sporadically. As you say, they'll never shoot like that two nights in a row. They're not going to shoot like that two nights in a row.
The Bucks didn't lose two games until, like, December last year, right? It was ridiculous. Yeah. I forget what they started off as, but they didn't have double-digit losses until, like, just before they went in the bubble.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not in panic yet, but this bothers me. You have to wonder, like, I guess part of it is you say if you're trying to make excuses for the Bucks here, which you know I'm all right to do for a bit, is it's very early. They didn't get much of a preseason. Drew Holiday has been with his team for half a minute. They have not played. They only played three preseason games. They did not get a whole lot of work with some new pieces here. I have liked Augustine. He's looked pretty nice when he's been on the floor. He's been a nice little addition on that. Cut into the basket pretty well, I thought so far. But yeah, they're just not getting there together. The defensive rotations they're just not there yet. They don't feel right. I miss Robin Lopez.
It was a big shakeup in the lineup, too. Yeah. I mean, so.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a lot of intrepidation during the offseason as to whether or not Giannis was going to be sticking around or not in the big contract. And, you know, it's plus, you know, the fear of maybe having to go into the bubble again, whether or not they want to play. You know, there's a lot of things going on. And I really hope it's just a funk. And, I mean, the Bucks season ended kind of abruptly. Like, you know, if we wouldn't have had the weird year with going into the bubble, you know, there's a good chance that the Bucks make it to the finals, if not just, you know, the Eastern finals, yeah. You know, at least, you know, but it was such a weird ending to the year. Robin Lopez walked, the whole Bogdanovich thing that went down that was kind of a motivational killer. And just trying to get the chemistry together of a team that really hasn't gotten a chance to work together too well. So, I mean, I don't think at any point up until they got him, I don't even remember Drew Holiday being talked about until like it was happening. So like there was no, I mean, and thank God there was no talk about it. Or the league might have taken away a first round draft pick and canceled the trade as well. But So I'm not too worried about it either. Get back to me mid January. You know, we say this every year. You know, when we wade through the first part of the NBA season, you know, wait till get back to me in February once football's done, and you know. And the second half of the season's upon us, and you can really, I mean, if your team's 6-30 going into the, you know, into the All-Star break, then you're done. But like, I don't see the Bucks even, if the Bucks are hanging around at .500 at the All-Star break, I think they'll be fine. Okay. So.
And Thibodeau, who knows? He can get some teams doing some stuff. They've got Julius Randle and it could be interesting. We'll see what they do here, but I'm going to end the main event by just saying this. Basically, I'm not panicking with the Bucks yet, but I am concerned. I have concerns. It's something to watch. All right, but like I just said, we're gonna take everything else we've got here and roll it back up into a segment that we lovingly call our last call.
Time to look around and get your bearings. It's time for the last call.
All right. So, we've got a couple things here. Men's basketball actually had some nice games. They beat Nebraska ball 67-55. Mm-hmm. That was a game where the first half the Badgers just couldn't shoot. Could not shoot at all. I think they started off like 1 of 10 or something terrible. It was really bad. It was a terrible start to that game, and they managed to work their way out of it and beat Nebraska rather convincingly. Then they
Does Nebraska have anything to cheer for besides volleyball these days?
No.
Just asking. All right.
Yeah, that's about it. Then they got to go to East.
I watched that game, John. You'd be so proud of me. I saw like most of it.
It was frustrating for a half, wasn't it? Yeah, and then
yeah, it was. It was frustrating to watch. Yeah. Yes.
Then the second half, they really started figuring out some
you
things.
Could tell who had the more talented team, real quick.
Yeah, it's good to hang out there. But yeah, they beat Michigan State then, 9-point win, 85-76, over a very good Michigan State team in East Lansing. Granted, no fans, but still, well coached team, well disciplined team, a team that was definitely ready for the game. And Badgers took it to them and beat them rather well. Problem is that they got. They put so much into that, apparently. They went out and kind of laid an egg against Maryland tonight. Ended up losing tonight in a close game. It was back and forth for quite a while. The Badgers, again, kind of like the Nebraska game, they started off just massively unable to shoot. They had a lot of problems. They missed a lot of actually very short shots. Maryland's got some talent. They got some young guys there. They have a 7'2" sophomore. And he had a couple nice blocks on plays that really should have been points for the Badgers. And they kind of went soft at him, and he knocked it away. He did what he was supposed to do. There's just moments where I wish our bigs played like bigs. Aleem Ford plays out at the line way more than he plays down in the blocks, it seems. Potter plays with a bunch of anger, but at times Reavers just... I'd like to see him play with a little more just fire and just willing to be a little bit more physical.
Well, if you were Potter, you'd be playing with anger too. I mean, after what the NCAA did to him. Yeah, and that guy's... You talked last week about going into that dark place when you're playing football.
Oh yeah,
he's got a huge vacuum of darkness after the job that the NCAA gave him last year.
Well, yeah, and you just watch the number of other players that are allowed to play immediately, and he wasn't. Yeah. It's ridiculous that he wasn't compared to other people. But yeah,
and it's to speak to your point too, because I'm now an expert on Wisconsin basketball after watching one whole game on TV. While being interrupted, you are right though. Like there, and it's always kind of been a thing with, I mean, because Kaminsky would go down low, but like Kaminsky and Decker always played outside too, like that. And it's, I've always felt like that with Wisconsin basketball. Like there's a lot of 7 foot tall white dudes hanging out outside the 3 point range.
Well, you know? It was different there because Kaminsky and Decker could play outside. They could stretch the floor. But they would play you inside as much as they wanted to. Right, I mean, like, they would go right to the hoop and they would dunk on you any chance they got. And I don't know if this team does it necessarily. Potter does it some, but Potter lost a couple of shots in tight today that was just kind of uncharacteristic and didn't go particularly well. Badgers get a chance to bounce back, take whatever deep, dark, angry thoughts they've got and take them out on Minnesota next week. Currently a 9-1 Minnesota team who's playing Michigan State today. I don't know an outcome on that game yet, though. So we'll see how that goes. The Big Ten has 9 ranked teams right now, which is just insane to think about. Moving on from that.
Growing up, Big Ten wasn't a basketball powerhouse, but now it kind of is. You know, they always talk about that up on KFAN. You know, Richard Pitino. When is he going to leave Minnesota for a big job somewhere else? You know, and this, that. And it's like, why would you want to leave the Big Ten? It's the power basketball conference right now, unless you're going for Duke, Kentucky, Louisville, like one of the...
Who is going after him? He's been taking teams that every year people think are going to be great and not making the tournament with them. He's
kind of like a less vocal PJ, a more likable PJ Fleck. Like the Minnesota keeps signing him to extensions just because they're afraid they're going to lose him.
Okay. That's fine by me because he doesn't get any of the talent from that state to stay there. And
no, he doesn't.
He hasn't been to the tournament yet. Who goes out making sure they maintain a guy who is not a tournament coach?
Yeah, Minnesota. NIT is definitely a tournament.
That is a tournament. You are correct. Speaking of the other school in the state, though, Marquette, they've had a rough go of it. They just played Seton Hall, Xavier, and Villanova. Lost all three of those. They go down to 5-5. They get to play Georgetown next. They got really up for that Badger game, and they didn't follow that up by beating a lot of these teams. They did have a very good game against Creighton. So they had a good stretch there where they were looking very good. They were like 5-2, beating 2 ranked teams. And then, Seton Hall, Xavier, and Nova right in a row puts them right back to 5-5. Rough go. They should be able to beat Georgetown, I would think, though. That's a game they should be able to win. In other news, Alex Turcotte and Cole Caulfield both awarded the assistant captain A on the World Juniors hockey team. It's been a couple years since a Badger wore a letter for the Team USA and the juniors, but that year they won gold. So it's been, I think, 5-6 years now since they had a Badger wearing that, but both Badgers wearing A's this year. So of the 3 letters, 2 of them are Badgers and both sophomores, so that's very nice.
Can't complain about that, man.
Yeah. The only other thing I marked down is that I really found it weird, and I talked about it earlier, the amount of weird, angry love about, like, watching the Lions get completely manhandled this last week, where they were at the interim coach to the interim coach to the fired coach, and they lost by 40. Yeah, I get that, but people are like, man, Stafford deserves more. It deserves better. You know what? J.J. Watt deserves better because that guy has been a 2-time defensive player of the year. He has had the NFL lead in sack. He's the only player ever to have 20 sacks in 2 years. Matthew Stafford is a guy who was one time named Offensive Player of the Week and has never received an MVP vote, has never been the Offensive Player of the Year, has gone to one Pro Bowl, has never been top five. Never been top five in the league as a quarterback. He
has
deserves
a wife
this.
That likes to speak her mind.
Yeah. Matt Stafford deserves this because this is what Matt Stafford wants. They're like, well, he's never had a great running back. He doesn't want a great running back. He wants to throw every play, which is what he gets to do. The only statistic he has been able to lead the NFL in twice is pass attempts. He led in completions once, but that's because he had an insane number of pass attempts. And the next year he had more pass attempts. He's a guy who likes to throw for volume, and that's where all of his numbers come from. Is he's a guy who throws all the time, even when his team is losing, especially when his team is losing. If he had a running back, they might be a winning team, and they might run the ball more. He doesn't want that. He wants to be paid a lot of money and throw the ball a lot. This is exactly what he asked for. Don't feel bad for Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford is the happiest man in America because he didn't pick a team to win. He picked a team to be him, and that's exactly what he got. So you should be super happy for him. He deserves exactly this. He's an 11 to 15 or 11 to 20 type quarterback. Not 1 to 10, 11 to 20. That's where he sits right now in this league and throughout his career. He's not a Hall of Famer in my mind. He'll probably get in there just because everybody loves him for whatever reason because he puts up a lot of yards. He's never led the league in yardage, but he puts up a lot of yards. But he just throws all the time. His yards per, you know, like his DYAR is never that impressive.
If Rivers gets in, he'll get in. You know that, right?
Yeah, he's a lot like Rivers. He's a lot like Fitzmagic in that he's a guy who he makes crazy throws. He also risks a lot. He's like Brett Favre without being good enough to be Brett Favre.
Right. Yeah. Well, and Fitzpatrick is enjoyable.
Fitzpatrick is enjoyable.
He is a hoot.
All right. Aaron, you got anything else you want to add in the last call here?
Yeah, it was nice having Eric on, man. Having a professional comedian. Like, I think that was something else, man. He's got some good stuff too. Like when you let me know on Friday or Saturday that he was coming on, I made sure to go take a look and between his YouTube channel and the stuff that's available. Truth and Fairness Act. I did not listen to a whole podcast the whole way through because I was trying to get a flavor for a lot of his stuff. So I got about 10 minutes of about three of them just because of the timing and everything like that. But it's good. He's exactly good. Like he was on our show, on his show. He's very funny. And some of his stuff, if you go online, some of his stuff is a little blue. So be prepared for that. But there's other stuff too. Like he's got stuff on Nat Geo where he's one of the actors on one of the bits on a science show, you know, so you can find him on, I mean, he's all over the place. Like he's legit, like struggling comedian actor dude from LA that's trying to make it, who's actually really funny. And as we found out, a super nice guy. So
he is very nice.
There you go.
We definitely enjoyed having him on here. We thank him again if he's listening to us again here on this. There's a great YouTube bit he had on there about like weirdest party or something like that. Like his grandfather is French and apparently gifted him a thing of wines, this big like chest full of wines and stuff like that. He's like, yeah, my friends and I used to pre-party with this. And he's like, we got this one weird looking bottle and we drank it. And it was weird, like this really thick liqueur, and we're just trying to drink this bottle and we were having the weirdest, like, crazy night, and we just stayed in and just went to sleep because we were all just so terrified of everything. He's like, what was in that bottle? He's like, oh, yeah, it's absinthe. It's wonderful. You mix it, like, a spoonful and a glass of water, and fantastic. He's like, we drank the whole bottle. He's like, oh, this is very bad. yeah, fantastic stories. He's got a lot of great stuff out there. Please make sure to listen to some of that. But, also, come back and listen to us next week. All of our fans in Belarus and Ukraine and Germany and Canada, up there in the Northwest Territories and out there in Ontario. I'm sorry if that's a terrible accent.
Got nothing better to do in Yellowknife this time of year. So
yeah. So thank you again, everybody, for joining us. It's wonderful to have you with us as we're going through a lot of things. The heartache with the Bucks and the extreme joys of the Packer season. Yeah. We'll get, we got a little bit of Packers season before we start getting some playoff talk here. We got one bowl game left with Badger football, and then, we'll start rolling through a bunch of other stuff here. We go all year round here in Scotty Johnny, giving you Wisconsin sports talk all the time. Thank you again, our wonderful guest this week. Love having Aaron with me every week. It's fantastic. And just remember, of course, everybody, that you can subscribe, download, listen, rate, and review us. Please do those things. It helps other people find the podcast. So wherever it is that you listen to us, do those things. You can follow me at Not So Humble Host. Pardon me, Not So Humble Host. You can follow Aaron at Cheddar Talk. You can follow this podcast itself at Scani Johnny Pod. If you want to, you can also follow Eric at Eric Hellwig, ErikHellwig on Twitter. So go look at that. Go download his podcast. Bring in the backups. And, of course, continue to listen to us every week. And remember, whether you are on the town or on the go, it is always on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scani Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScaniJohnny1 or online at ScaniJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.